Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel, Jewel Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel, Yelod Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay. The first four speakers this morning are going to be women of the House of Yahweh, and they are senior scholars of 10 years or more of the sacred scriptures. And they are going to be bringing you information on using the gematria. Now, I don't know how many of you are into gematria or even know about them, but there are several books on gematria today, such as Number in Scripture and the Hidden Codes of the Bible, which have been brought to us from different teachers. The Creator, Yahweh, inspired the scriptures to be written in the Hebrew language. And for this generation, Yahweh gave each letter and word a number. And I say for this generation because this hidden code of the numbers was only discovered recently by accident and brought to the public's attention in this generation. The gematria reveals hidden secrets that one doesn't get from the scriptures alone. So it's an added benefit of helping you to understand the scriptures. In Revelations 10:7, it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets." Now, Revelation was written in 96 AY by Yochanan, who was in prison when he wrote this book. After his death, the book was taken and put with the writing of Yahweh's prophets and Yeshua's disciples, locked up, and was not seen again for 1,500 years. And then only in versions such as the King James Version. The King James Version was rendered into English and made public in the year 1611 AY, just in time for the seventh messenger, who by prophecy and gematria is revealing the great secrets of Yahweh. The prophets show the name of the seventh messenger and where he will do his work. The gematria shows his writings starting with his first two books, The Mark of the Beast, Volumes 1 and 2. The prophecies and the gematria are so interesting. So listen closely and take notes. You are going on a great learning experience. And after these four women, the priests will follow. So as you've known, you know I've been doing gematria on Yahweh's protection and numbered by Yahweh. And it was revealed that numbered by Yahweh in the gematria came up 1074. And then Yahweh's protection comes up as 1909. And how the gematria works is each letter of the alphabet is given a number, and then as you type in the phrase that you want to get a number value from, it calculates the number of each one of these letters and gives you a sum of numbers in several different gematrias, Jewish, English, and simple. The one that I use is gematrix.org because it's the simplest one, and I'm more on time than anything else, so I need something really quick. And as I said, Yahweh's protection was one of the phrases that I had put into the gematria, and the number that came up was 1909. Now, you know that with 1909, I've been bringing out about the prophecy of Measure the Temple, and then how 1909 is also related to all the dates that are part of Pastor, from the day he was conceived all the way up into all of the prophecies that he has fulfilled in bringing forth and establishing the house of Yahweh in these last days. So the two strong books that I use is one is the Red Letter Edition, and the 1909 in the Red Letter Edition means superimposition, and that goes right in line with Measure the Temple, because the overseer superimposed the temple plan, the third temple, on the Temple Mount to show that the temple can be rebuilt without destroying the Dome of the Rock that is there. So that fulfilled that prophecy. The second Strong's that I used was the strongest Strong's. Now, they say that this is the corrected version, and they say that they corrected the version of the Strongs in order to make it more accurate. In the 1909 definition, superimposition was taken out. So we think, oh, okay, well, that was not right. No, that was not correct. But the way these people do these corrections, they only pick and choose what they want to put in the definitions that are the most relevant to this time period. Now, in the 1909 number, in the Strongest Strongs, it did add another definition, which means in the last days, or in the days of Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh Malach. I just read that to you. The secrets of Yahweh will be revealed. Now, the overseer has been obedient in everything that the Yahweh has instructed him to do, telling about the putting it on your mirror. Remember that definition, that statement he says, mark, put it on your mirror. Does anybody know what that means? Put it on the mirror. What were we supposed to put on the mirror? What date? That's right. And what occurred to the overseer when he did that? He was ridiculed. He was ostracized. He was arrested. He was made to be the worst man in history. He was slapped with a $10 million bond, and he was thought of worse than Al Capone. Interviewers actually ridiculed him when he said that when he brought out what he brought out. And some of the things that he brought out was that the sins are reaching the heavens. STDs are in the atmosphere. STDs are the cause of climate warming. STDs are the reason why there's all these curses. STDs are the reason why there's all these famines. STDs are the reasons why there is all these wars. And he was ridiculed. Yahweh said, I am pleased with you, my servant. And what he allowed was he allowed these scientists to be able to see the wisdom and knowledge of Yahweh, because they started to listen to what he was saying. He brought out the birth of the nuclear baby, and he actually gave article after article after article proving what he said. Some of these were that they found all of these microorganisms in the air, in the atmosphere over Houston. Do you remember when he brought that out? The census of the microorganisms? Okay, this is a couple of the articles that they brought out. Pathogenic microbes exist in the air you breathe. This was brought out on August 5th, 2011. The first ever video reveals how HIV spreads between immune cells. And this video actually shows how the HIV virus actually rapes the cells. He actually violently rapes the cells. Microconsensus reveals air crawling with bacteria. And the overseer brought this out again and again and again. The first time that he brought it out was in The Mark of the Beast. The Mark of the Beast, Volume 2. If you read about it, it talks about the microorganisms, the breeding in the hospitals. The most recent articles that were brought out, this was brought out just the other day. Oral and genital herpes viruses are having sex. The result is worrisome. The overseer brought this out back in 2004, 5, and 6 about the microorganisms mating and mutating and causing these diseases. The scientists have been finally allowed just a glimpse of the knowledge that the overseer has. And remember, the overseer is protected by Yahweh, Yahweh's protection, 1609, and numbered by Yahweh, 1074. Believe in the one sent, and you will be protected. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. I got to tell you that these are some exciting times to be alive. So I'm going to start off with my first gematria that I want to share. And there's another thing that Yahweh had allowed us to see, and it's, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh in the last days. Now, the house of Yahweh is the only place on the face of this earth who's going to know what this 512 means. Could y'all shout out what 512 is? That's right, Yahweh's in full control. And we know that because Overseer had a dream, and on this particular night, 512, that's when Yahweh inspired that dream and said that he is in full control. So I'd like to start off with a story real quick. So I was told about Doubting Thomas. Y'all remember Doubting Thomas? Okay, so and a story popped in my mind from the scriptures, and I was thinking that it was the man who had to put... he had to stick his fingers in Yeshua's hands to see if it was really him, right? He's all like, I won't believe it until I actually see it and stick my fingers in his hand. Now, I asked a seven-year-old, because I didn't know the name at the time, but I knew the story. So I asked a seven-year-old, I was like, who is this man? And she told me off the bat, Thomas. And I thought that was really nice, and I wanted to share that. So turning over to Yochanan 20, I'm going to read a few of the scriptures. Now, so the other disciples came to him. No, the other disciples said to him, we have seen Yeshua. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then going down to 26. Now, 8 days later, his disciples again were within, and Thomas was with them. Yeshua came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be to you. Shalom. Then he said to Thomas, reach out your finger here and see my hands, and reach out your hand and put it in my side. And do not be faithless, but believing. And we were reminded last week that miracles never converted anyone, but it was the scriptures and the laws and the prophecies that built that strength within them, the strength of Yahweh, right? Okay. So who believed without seeing? I would like to share this. And it's 322. So everybody who's tagged with the tag 322 and 7. If you notice that 7 and the mouth of Yahweh pointed out that this represents the 7 works of Yahweh who believe without seeing. And I also want to share, if y'all remember in Isaiah 53, it says, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? And who has believed is 828. And who has believed at Abel is 1074. And we all know that through the reading of the scriptures, this is how you prove to yourself. So as it is written, it's... Let me read that before I butcher it. But these are written so that you might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, and that believing you might have life through his name. And in these last days, these things are already written for us to prove to ourselves that that Overseer is the one sent in the last days so that by believing and obeying, we might be saved. Hopefully, and the main reason why Yahweh inspired me to do this is for those who are having trouble across seas or whatever the case may be, is that the only way that you can be saved in the last days, the only way to salvation is by believing every word that is sent out of the mouth of Yahweh, the one who was sent in the last days. And you can do that by studying and by rehearsing the whole book of Yahweh and then consuming as much information as you can from the house of Yahweh. Because you have to be taught by the one sent. Now, the last thing I want to share is in Daniel. Okay. Daniel. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. The house of Yahweh knows that the one on the other side is Yisrael Hawkins. And also in Isaiah chapter 44, when he says, the other will subscribe with his hand, that other is 2088. So I wanted to point that out real quick before I share this. And this 2088 is those on the other side, those tagged with overseer. You know where I'm going with this? Okay, so great. Those who believed without seeing is 2088. And I find that truly amazing because it's only through Yisrael Hawkins that we can do these things. So blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears that they hear. For the prophets of old have desired to see the things that you see and to hear the things that you've heard. And with this, if you would all please stand, may Yahweh truly bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Before I get into my speech, I was asked to share this with you. The other day, well, first of all, everyone that knows me knows that I'm not too great with my phone. We have issues. I don't really understand it, and it really does its own thing sometimes. But one of my daughters, Omim, taught me how to go to Google and say something, and the phone talks back to you. So I put that aside, but the other morning I was on my way down to work, and I was having issues with my phone that morning. And so I decided to ask Google to see how smart my phone really was. So I went, I pulled up Google, and I said, "Who is Yahweh's last day's anointed witness?" And so I'm thinking it's not going to know because I don't think my phone's too smart. But this is what it brought up, and I have it on the other screen on my pad that's hot spotted to this phone somehow. But you see what it brought up? It brought up the two witnesses have been found. Now, as my other daughter, Tikva, comes up, and it's all also, it doesn't just show you it. It also talks to you. So I want you to hear what Google says.
When results Yahweh's last day's anointed witness, Yisrael Hawkins is greatly concerned about the direction in which today's world is age. The House. PDF The House of Yahweh 2015/10. For more information on the two witnesses or to receive your free information packet, go to withfoundthem.org or yahweh.com. Yahweh's last day's anointed witness, Yisrael Hawkins, is greatly concerned about the...
So I think now my phone and I have a common bond. So praise Yahweh. Now to get on with the speech. The speech that I have today is called It's Yisrael's Task. But I just wanted to remind you, now, that phone has the knowledge. Now, what we do with that knowledge, it shows us our wisdom and our understanding to Yahweh. So take that knowledge and use it to Yahweh's glory. It's Israel's task. Remember when Yahweh showed us in the Strong's the Hebrew number 1933 means to exist? And it went to 1961, means to exist, and that's where Yahweh's name from 3050 goes also to 1961, which shows the great connection that Israel Hawkins has with Yahweh. So one day I was in the Strong's, and I was going past 193 in the Greek, and I was like, what did that mean again? So I went and looked at it, and it goes to 1909, which we know means superimposition. But it also goes to 1503, and it says, appropriate, seemly, fitting. And it just reminded me when the overseer told his mother that he seemed unfittable with everyone because he was so different. But Yahweh says he's seemingly fit. And it also means to resemble. And I have a first gematria up here, so I asked, well, who's like Yahweh? And you see that 172 there? Hopefully you can see that. 172 is Law 172, where it says you must listen to and obey Yahweh's anointed servant, Israel Hawkins. So we know that 172 goes with the overseer. And the only place that went in the scriptures, that 1503, was Galatians 2, verse 5. And in Galatians 2, verse 5, Saul is talking, and he was saying to these people that these other ones were trying to bring us back into God worship, or Elohim worship. But he said in verse 5, to whom we did not yield in submission even for a moment, in order that the truth of the message might remain the same with you. So with you, who is he really talking to? Keep that in mind, so that the God worship would not be with you. And it goes to 9 other numbers that are closely related. And one of those was 201. If you want to put the next one up, it's number, it was called an audience room. So I put that in the gematria, an audience room, and that's 828, the overseer's number. And also the next one, it says a place of hearing. And so I put in gematria, where's place of hearing in the last days? And that's pastor's tag number, 322. It also went to a number 402, to give place, 1 cent, to be in, to enter, to pass, receive into the heart, a chasm, impassable, an interval. Now, in the time of Moshe, they had the Passover, but they had to have someone that would help them to pass over. So I'm thinking that person was called the Passoverer. So in the last days, I put that in the gematria, we have a Passoverer also, and that's number 828, the overseer. Another number it went to was 5117. Now this is where it gets really interesting. It says location, license, rock, place, a garden, where one can settle, abide, dwell, where a thing is hidden, the place where it is written, the Spirit of Yahweh rests upon me. So in the gematria, I put in a location, Yahweh's. And you can see it comes to the pastor's other tag number, 1074. Now I looked up in the dictionary what the word license means. And it means a permit from an authority to own or use something, authority to do a particular thing, a document of authorization, permission given. So it isn't just, we call it a tag, but it's a license that means he's been given, the overseer has been given the permission to do what he needs to do according to what Yahweh has given him. It also goes to superior in rank and character, prominence as a mountain peak. One who has the means to accomplish a task in this place. So the next gematria is Israel's task. Israel's task is 1074, but you see that number with it, 1291? We're going to talk about that 1291 just for a minute. 1291 means to set apart, to give command, to set fast, to stand, to establish, to appoint, to hold up. And according to the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, which is a set of 10 books, it's in the 7th volume on page 1074. Now, we are the 7th lamp on the lampstand, that Western light that will never go out, and that number in that book is also 1074. Only Yahweh can bring forth the glory of his anointed one in these last days, who he uses to glorify him. But the number that I really want you to see, can you show the next number there? Yes, that one. You see this, remember that 1074 always goes to 1085, that goes to 1096. Well, that 1096 goes to that 1933, and I just want you to see what this means. It means to cause to be, to generate, to be preferred, be finished, be published, and arise. That is the commission that's been given to the great overseer in these last days, Israel Hawkins, his task, whose he has been appointed to by Yahweh to bring in everlasting righteousness. And we, being one with Israel, are doing that work with him. Now let's arise. And together I'm going to count to 3. And we're going to say this so that we remember that we need to say this. Okay, one, two, three. Blessed is Israel Hawkins, who comes in the name of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Be seated. Shalom, everyone. The title of my speech is, Who Should We Trust? Who should we trust? I put in the gematria, who is the man we should put our full trust in? And it came to Numbers 525, 4073, and 3150. And we're lamplighting our technology is in a lamplight mode today, as you can see. The first number I'd like to cover is number 525, which comes from 539, and it means in the sense of training, skilled, that is an architect, one brought up. Now, who's the one who's been brought up in this time period? Our overseer, and he's also bringing us up. And that 539, it means, and this is in the Hebrew Strong's, a primitive root properly to build up or support, to foster as a parent or nurse. Now, half of the congregation calls Pastor Dad. Do they not? They're like, what did Dad say? Did you call Dad? He's our dad. He's our father. Just like the Apostle Shaul was the father in his day. Figuratively, to render, be firm or faithful, to trust. So remember, I put in who is the man we should put our full trust in, and one of the definitions is to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet, morally to be true or certain. That only fits one man in this time period. It means to be faithful, steadfast, surely, trusty, verified, fathering, put trust, turn to the right. I thought that was so awesome. And it reminded me, and that was just that first number, but I want to pause here and read Zechariah. If you'll please turn to Zechariah 6, verses 12 and 13. Zechariah 6, verses 12 and 13. It says, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. Remember, we just found that word meaning to build up, right? So we can see that this is the great branch. In verse 13, yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both. The subject here is the branch, showing that the branch is going to have a place, a throne. He's going to have counsel with Yeshua Messiah. Sometimes I think we underestimate the value that we should place in this man that Yahweh has sent to us in these last days. He's actually been sent by Yahweh. Because of our lightning strike and the technology, I wasn't able to put on the screen the interlinear for Isaiah 11, 1 through 4, but I'm going to read it, and I'd like for everyone to turn to Isaiah 11, 1 through 4 as I read, because it says, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yishe, and a branch will grow out of its roots. Remember the 12 disciples. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. I want to bring to your attention, the subject here is the branch. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the reverence of Yahweh, which will make him of quick understanding, and his delight, and everybody that knows our overseer knows, and his delight will be in the reverence of Yahweh. He will not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor will he reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and reprove equity for the meek, humble of the earth. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. That should bring to your mind Revelation 11, right? With the two witnesses, they will smite the earth, right? And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. So this is not talking about going and slaying like some kind of dragon slayer. This is talking about revealing the sins of the people by his mouth. And that's the way he's teaching the earth. And in the interlinear, it actually shows Yahweh here, and I would that I could show this on the screen, and next time I speak, Yahweh willing, I can do that. But it actually says, and when you're reading, It says the spirit of, and they translated it Jehovah, but you can clearly see in this scripture passage and from the interlinear, it's Yahweh's name there. So who gives our overseer this great authority? Yahweh. Who gives him the great spirit of knowledge and wisdom? Yahweh. Yes, exactly. Now, continuing in that first gematria, who is the man we should put our full trust in? That second number is number 4073, and it means to push from 1765, which means to urge or hasten. Remember, our overseer is always pushing us in the work of Yahweh, and he's always telling us a word. Hurry, hurry, work, work, right? So we can see that this is talking about our great overseer. That last number in this gematria was number 3150, and from Strong's Greek, this one means sprinkled of Jah, which we know there was no J in the original Hebrew, right? So sprinkled of Yahweh, which is our overseer who's brought back the great sprinkling in this time period. Praise Yahweh. Yes, you can all clap for Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Where can salvation be found today? I put that in the gematria. Where can salvation be found today? Do you see that tag number? Well, you'll see it in a minute. 322. So take your seat in that van, because where can salvation be found today? Number 322, which is pastor's tag number, right? Now, I also put in Google, to hearing a lot about Google today. Where is the only place that Yahweh offers salvation? And out of 2,900,000 results, the first one that came up was salvation is only given in Yahweh's house. You see that? And it only took Google 49 seconds to find that. And for my last gematria, I put in the Western lamp. The Western lamp. And as you can see, that Western lamp is number 1074, which is pastor's other tag number. And in Matthias 16, verse 18, it says, "And I also say to you who are Kepha, whose name means rock, that upon this rock, Yahweh Unity, I will build this house." Remember that build or family, that 1074 family, the house of Yahweh, and the gates of Sheol the grave will not prevail against it. So you can see that we are tagged by Yahweh in this time period. Both of his tag numbers clearly shown. Salvation is only mentioned here for those who come right in this van, follow behind our great pastor in his 1074, his 322. And at this time, if you'll all please stand, I'd like to turn the services over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh.
At this time, we get to hear from the great deacon, Michael Austin.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of this code search is Feasts of Yahweh, and I have to say one thing. Not today, Satan, not with us. We'll show you no fear, we'll show you no slack. Not today, Satan, no. Again, peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of this search was the Feast of Yahweh. And part of this was done before Passover, and part of it was done after. And the things that came after is really amazing. So if you will, turn over to Leviticus 23, verse 4, found on page 101. And I'll go ahead and read it. "These are the feasts of Yahweh, his holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons." Okay, so now turn over to Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. Do I got that right? I got these backwards, don't I? I do. That was Leviticus 23, 4, and Deuteronomy 12, 7. So those were backwards. So Deuteronomy 12:7, and it says, "There in front of Yahweh your Father, you and your family shall eat, and you shall rejoice," rejoice. Remember the song, "Rejoice in Yahweh," "in all that you have put your hand to do, because Yahweh our Father has blessed us." So let's get right into the code. Ah, the wonders of modern technology. So, okay, here we go. So right here, this is the main right here, and this is Feast of Yahweh. Pay no attention to the shaking hand. Feast of Yahweh. All right. Then two, right here, is Callahan. This was Callahan, so we have Feast of Yahweh. Put my hand down here. Callahan. And then crossing Callahan and Feast of Yahweh is 1074. This line right here, these characters right here. Okay, 1074. Now I thought this one was really, really interesting. Okay. Peaceful scene. Peaceful scene was in there. And it was a wonderful, peaceful scene with the all the wonderful rain we had. We still rejoiced, right? All right, we have number six. And number six is right here. And it is Clyde. Now, remember Clyde right here, because at the ending of this, there's a group of words that connect to Clyde, which is very important. So we have Clyde right here. All right. Then we have P.S. One Day Event. P.S. One Day Event, which we have at all the main feasts, and occasionally they are at the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Pentecost. All right, then if we go over here, buffalo carp. You know, occasionally we have buffalo carp. Sometimes it's just regular carp, and sometimes it's perch. But a lot of times we have the buffalo carp, which Pastor speaks so highly of. This one came up, and this is the company that the witness Jacob used to, and the house of Yahweh had used in the past. And it's called Super Travel. Super Travel. So, and it is a super travel when you talk to the people that come for the feast from their temporary dwellings, and they travel, and the children talk about how joyous it is to come, and as they get on Able Way, they start rejoicing even more. Okay. Then we have Shadow, which crosses all the way over here, of Protection. Shadow of Protection, which we know are the Feasts of Yahweh. Okay, now from here, after feast, I started looking up some more words to see what was in there. And the things that came up are really, really spectacular. This one here that goes across here is BBQ sheep. BBQ sheep. Now, Yahweh's got a sense of humor because only in these last days will we know what BBQ means. It means barbecue. So we had barbecued sheep, which was wonderful. Now, this next section is really, really great. So let's turn over to Psalm 78. In the house of Yahweh, we have a group of young people, and it's called The Next Generation. Now, it's a group of songwriters and singers, but it's also all the young people, because we have young women that are heavily involved in the music that does this, and we have young men that are involved in certain areas of the work that are being trained to do these things, to bring this message to the teens of the world. Very important, very honored in Yahweh's eyes, and I'm going to show you here in a moment. But there's also scriptures that talk about them, and let's just go to Psalm 78, verse 5, and it's found on page 464, and it reads, "He set up a testimony in Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they must make known to their children," which is what pastor and the priesthood is doing. It's teaching the young people. "So the generation," or the next generation to come, "might know them. So even the children yet to be born would rise up and tell them to their own children, that they might put their hope in Yahweh and never forget the works of our Heavenly Father, that they might keep His laws forever," and bring this message to the teens of the world that there is hope. The teens in the world are suffering like everybody else, and even more, because remember, Pastor said that the youth is being hit even harder with the multimedia things that are going on out there with the internet and the movies and the video games. But the next generation in the house of Yahweh is so very important to Yahweh in helping and bringing this message. And again, we have a group of songwriters and singers and performers that are truly excelling in the music that they're bringing forth. So at this time, I want to show you what came up. Now, this all was strung together, and it reads in a row just like this. Next generation singing, getting, and it wasn't getting, it was getting, like the CD, getting sin out. Just like the CD. Yahweh knew they were going to produce that CD, and what was interesting is they had another title, but it ended up being this one, so Yahweh wanted this one, and that's what came in the code. So let me read that again. Next. And I put in Jen at first because I'd seen a video where they were selling CDs for when I was working on the music video, and the person that was behind the counter said, well, we have the adult and the next gen. And I thought, okay, that's cool. I looked up next gen. Well, the word Hebrew word for gen and generation is the same. So again, we have next generation singing, getting sin out. And if you notice, sin out crosses Clyde, which crosses shadow of protection. So this next generation is not some next generation group in the world. It's the one that's on Clyde, in Clyde, at the shadow of protection, which is the house of Yahweh, which is at the feasts of Yahweh. Praise Father Yahweh. Pretty awesome. There's no holding him back. So with that, if you'll all please stand. I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins. Woo!
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. I want to remind you of just a couple things before I get started on the slideshow. You know, think back at the feast, the last day of the feast, and all the great signs that Yahweh gave us, like the YH there in front of the press room. You know, think of whose initials those are. That's our overseer in these last days, the great Yisrael Hawkins, okay, who's taught us, you know, all these years, brought us up in the great house of Yahweh and teaching us Yahweh's way. But I also want you to remember, he didn't just teach us. You know, he taught Daniel, okay, and he taught some other prophets. Okay, way, way back in the past. Remember on the Sea of Glass. We're ready? Okay. So let's go ahead and let's get going here. We're going to start off the month of Mary in a great way here. Mary and the Mother Church, okay, we're going to talk about today. And Pastor told me this booklet that I'm about to show you was actually written before the Mark of the Beast. Can I have my next slide? There you go. Who do you worship? There's the picture of Mary. Who do you worship? And notice her number, 1404. Remember, you ever you see that 1404, you need to remember dragon, Satan, serpent. That's in the Greek. But also in the Hebrew, it means queen, a master, a lord. You know, a lady, our lady, they call her. Remember? This queen of heaven, the mistress of heaven. Yahweh's wife, Lilith, okay, that pastor is exposing and actually wrote a book in 1997 exposing Lilith, okay? Who do you worship? Well, that's who you worship. If you're worshiping this woman's church and you're in that, you know, 4,199, okay, that's who you're worshiping, the dragon. Let's look at some gematria on this mother church. Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, let's look at Mother Church first, 575. It's where? Where? Hither. Where? Whence? Where? It's used in Eob 1:7 when Yahweh asked Satan, where do you come from? Okay, and it's from 369, meaning nothing and not. And remember, the gods, they're nothing. They're powerless, as Isaiah 44:9 says and Galatians 4:9 says. It means helpless, powerless, waterless, senseless. Remember what it says in Yada 1:12 and 2 Kefa 2:12, they're clouds without water, okay? They have no salvation to offer. You know, they're twice dead, pulled up by the roots, as it said. Okay, and it says that, incurable. Remember, Jeremiah 30:12, your wound is incurable. It means of no account. There will be no one, meaning there will be left no root or branch. Remember Malachi 4. And it's from 336 and from 335, meaning where? Origin, like as in where did they originate from? Where did this mother church come from? As in mystery. Remember Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17:5. Where did this church originate from? It originated in the garden. Okay, remember Genesis 2:9. And of course, there was some rebellion going on in heaven before that even took place. Now let's look at Greek 5:75. It denotes separation. It means away, denoting separation, departure, deserting. Okay, remember, they departed from the tree of life, the faith, and they became separated from Yahweh. Remember the separatists on the seven hills of Rome, the mother church. Let's look at the second number in this gematria on mother church. Next slide. It's 840, and it means right of God. And that's exactly right. It's not right of Yahweh, it's right of God. Right of God, guided by gods, blessed gods, happy gods. Notice, guidance of God, 666, this is who guides them. It's not Yahweh guiding them, it's Satan. Satan's the God, okay? The God of this world. Blessed gods, 666. Happy gods, 666. And Greek 840 means harsh and severe. Notice, harshness, 666. The pastor talked about a harsh light. You remember that at the feast? Let's go to the next slide. A harsh light, 666. I don't know why we have 332. I guess that's the first one we're going to go over, but it's 666, a harsh light, okay? But now remember, don't just think about the fluorescent lights or whatever. Think about Yada being the light bringer, or, you know, the Aaronic priesthood. Remember, Aaron means light bringer. The Aaronic priesthood was supposed to be teaching the laws of Yahweh, but notice, word number 332 says they shut up, close, and bind. That means that this priesthood, they shut up the door to the kingdom in men's faces, as Yahshua said in Matthew 23:13, and they bind people under a curse because of sin. Which goes to the next word, Greek 33:32, which means to bind under a curse, devote to destruction, excommunicated, devoted to the direst woes. In other words, the greatest trouble. This is what they're going to have because of their separation from Yahweh. And it means doomed to separation from Messiah or from Yahshua. Can I have my next slide? The next number in a harsh light is 111, and it's the word Hadad. We brought this out before. Hadad is actually Baal, the god Baal, but he goes by different names, Hadad, Had, Hada, Hadu, and Rimmon. In 2 Kings 5:18 and Zechariah 14:10, you can read about Rimmon. But notice, when you put all those names together, you get a 666, and you get a 216, which is a 666 times 6 times 6. And 216 also means light. It means light. Okay, remember when Pastor was over the sanctuary on 216? And the light was shining off of him, out of his face? That's the true light of Yahweh. This is the false light, the harsh light that we want to avoid. Also, Greek 111 means lawless. That should say it all. Remember Yada 111, 111, Yada 111. They chose the way of Cain, the rebellion of Korah, and they went in the way of Balaam for reward, for money. Can I have my next slide? A harsh light, 666. Now, this harsh light, remember I told you it's a rulership that they're doing. It's called the scepter of the Lord. You know, it's the unrighteous scepter. Scepter of the Lord is 666, but it's also 1134, and look who holds it. Female, wife. From 1135, a woman, wife, my lady. From 1096, meaning married, turned, draw, be divided, fall. This should remind you of Isaiah 14:12. How have you fallen from heaven, O Hillel, Lucifer, Aphrodite, Venus, child of the light, or you call her Mary. And that's what they're calling her today. They called her Diana. They called her many names. And she's the one that's weakening the nations today by taking the strength of Yahweh away from the nations, the laws of Yahweh. Can I have my next slide? Let's add up these numbers in a harsh light. And you get 1109. And notice Balaam. From Yada 111 and 2 Kefa 215, remember they run greedily in the era of Balaam for reward. Is following Balaam for reward 1674? Remember 1674, the tag number of the serpent, 666 multiplied. And Greek 1109 means one who knows, an expert. From 1097, a virgin. Virgin? Used in Luke 1:34 in the King James, speaking about the Virgin Mary. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. The gnomon of the obelisk. You remember the gnomon on the obelisk that they use at the Vatican where the Mother Church is? You know, they don't call it Mother Church because it's the main church, but the mother is who they worship, okay? And that's who they're pushing forward right now in a big way. They worship Lilith, the queen of heaven, the dragon. The gnomon of the obelisk, the gnomon, 666. We went over that before about the deceptions book. Can I have my next slide? Let's get back to Mother Church gematria. The last number is 140, and it's the word Adonikim, Adonikam, my Lord has risen. And it's used in Azariah 2:13 where it says, the descendants of Adonikam, 666. Wow, how remarkable, right? That's very telling. That's the number of this system. Greek 140 means to take away, to put away, cause to cease, take out of the way, and destroy, which is going to take place very soon now. Let's go to the next slide. Let's add up the numbers in Mother Church, and you get 1555, and it means Goliath. Goliath. It's used in 1 Samuel 17:4. Remember, Goliath had six written all over him. He had a spearhead that weighed 600 shekels. He was 6 cubits in height, and he had 6 different weapons that he used. And it also is from 1540 to means to uncover, remove, reveal, shamelessly uncovers, stripped, carried away into exile, deported, disappears. This is talking about those four religions that were transplanted from Jerusalem and taken to Rome on the Seven Hills. The four ruling religions, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. And it's also talking about their cartoons that they put up on the ceiling in the Sistine Chapel. You remember that? Where they shamelessly expose nakedness, like you see on this book that we had to cover up here with some fig leaves or whatever those are, olive leaves or something. But they have, you know, these meanings refer to the Mother Church. And the Mother Church is being exposed. Notice Greek 1555 means to tell in detail, to narrate fully, universally, to relate, tell, and declare. And that's what Pastor's done in the Unveiling Satan, Her True Identity Revealed. He's exposing this woman, this dragon, this queen of heaven that the satanic Catholic Church is worshiping. The whole world is worshiping Satan the devil. Even if you're not in the Catholic Church, you're one of the daughters of that church. There's the church, the Catholic Church is number 4,199. You're of the 4,198 if you're not in the house of Yahweh, okay? All right, so let's look at the next slide. This painting that's on the cover of that book, Unveiling Satan, is called The Fall from the Garden, and it's painted by Michelangelo, and it's on the Sistine Chapel ceiling. The Sistine Chapel was consecrated in 1483, which was 500 years before the house of Yahweh was established. And 500 means opposes the Messiah, anti-Messiah in Greek. Now, but notice what 1483 means, the year that it was consecrated. It means sojourning, you know, to travel. Dwelling. Remember they took the rocks from Jerusalem and they built the Sistine Chapel. It's from 1482. It means a cub, whelps. Remember? Genesis 49:9, you're a lion's whelp, Yada. Okay, this is speaking of Yada. It's from 1481, and it means to sojourn, turn aside, turn aside, 666, gather for hostility, to assemble, gather together, to stir up strife and quarrel. Remember quarrel, 666. Think of Genesis 4:8, the quarrel that Cain and Abel had, the argument that was going back and forth that's still going on today between the Catholic Church and the house of Yahweh. But, you know, as I believe 2 Timaeus 3:15 says, without controversy, there is no controversy here. Yahweh's the Father. Baal's not the Father. Okay, Yahweh is our Father. He created the world and everything that we can't even see. Now look at Greek 1483. It means as a Gentile, like the rest of the world. From 1482, heathen, outside of Yahweh's covenant, salvation, pagan. Notice, as Gentiles, 666. This is describing that Catholic Church on the Seven Hills. Can I have my next slide? Now we're going to shift gears a little bit here, and we're going to go to another gematria, Mary and the Mother Church. Mary and the Mother Church. You'll see why we chose these in a while. Pastor will bring that forward. Notice the first number, 1244, means punishment, scourge, examination, from 1239 to break forth. Punishes, 666, a punisher, 666. Remember, Yahweh doesn't punish, okay? Yahweh's not a punisher. Zeus is a punisher. Jupiter's a punisher. Mary's a punisher. She's waiting to punish you as soon as you step out of line. She's trying to draw us out so she can punish us, okay? I'm going to show you here in a minute. 1244 in Greek means to divide, separate. Remember, she's a separator, a divider. It means to divide into parts. Daniel 11:39. Remember, dividing the land for gain. And this strange God that he's causing to be increased with glory. This is speaking about Mary, okay? Can I have my next slide? If you take Genesis 3:1-5 and you load it in gematria, you get 5498, and it means to drag off. Drag, that's where that word dragon comes from. It means to draw out, as in drawing you out of the house of Yahweh, to tear, to separate. Greek 5498 means it's showing about punishment, that you deserve to be punished if you go outside the Mosaic or the law of Moshe, it says. And remember, drag queens, 666. She was the original one. Can I have my next slide? Pope Francis actually tweeted out, he admitted this. He says, with her, yes, Mary became the most influential woman in history. Without social networks, she became the first influencer, the influencer of God. You see that? He admits it, but he doesn't admit where it started. She was the satanic influencer in the garden. 1674, okay? Let's look at the next slide. Mary and the Mother Church, 1494, means to cut off. 1494 in the Greek means sacrifice to gods, and that's what they do. The Gentiles, they remember they're as Gentiles, they sacrifice to demons, not to Yahweh. They don't worship Yahweh, and Yahweh doesn't want us to have fellowship with demons. Next slide. Final number on Mary and the Mother Church is 249, means a native, man or tree, one arising from the soil. Remember the beast arising out of the earth, a native tree growing in its natural soil. It's used in Psalm 37:35, figurative of prosperous, wicked people. And it means to arise, come forth, irradiate. Think about the radiation that they're fixing to cause. Irradiate means exposed to radiation. Did you know they radiate your food too to purify it? This is what they're doing to your food supply. Not our food supply, but out there in the world. It also means to illuminate something by shining light on it, which is what Pastor's doing. He's shining light on this mother and the church. Can I have my next slide? Now, there was two trees in the garden. Notice, when you put in native tree in the garden, 1344 comes up twice. Let's talk about the first 1344 that Daniel 7:25 talked about. Remember, Daniel 7:25 is 1674. Daniel 7:25 says that this person would think to change times, laws, and feast days. You remember that? And they'll be given into his hand and her hand until a time, and the dividing of time. It's an evil tree, 666. 1344 means arrogance, pride, to rise up, to grow up, to mount up, to triumph. Remember Satan in Isaiah 14:12, the pride that filled her heart. And then there's another tree. This is the other 1344. It's to show to be righteous, to declare righteous, approved, conformed to a proper standard, upright, just in the eyes of Yahweh, the elect, innocent, just, righteous, righteous man, righteous persons. Notice, the tree on Abel Way is what it's talking about. The tree on Abel Way is 1074. That's pastor's tag number. Can I have my next slide? The last number, Mary and the Mother Church, 249, in Greek means without reason, irrational, contrary to reason, absurd, unreasonable, brute, beast. Behavior that lacks sound, moral, spiritual reasoning. Found in Yada 1:10 and 2 Kefa 2:12. Again, they're like brute beasts made to be captured and destroyed. Can I have my next slide? When you add up those numbers, it goes to some things. I think I'm going to go ahead and skip that because I got to get to this here. Can I have my next slide? Now, Pope Francis says Mary is a mother to sinners, not the corrupt. It shows Pope Francis venerating a statue of Mary here. Notice, venerating statue of Mary, 1674. He recently wrote a book titled Ave Maria, Hail Mary. Ave Maria, Hail Mary, Pope Francis, 1674. You see that? This is tagging the serpent, showing you that he venerates, he worships Mary. Now watch this. He's trying to get you. He's trying to get the whole world. Let's go to the next slide. You remember the House bill to rename Luke 3:22? Was from February of 2/11 to 2019. They wanted to call it the Rodney T. Holder Memorial Highway. That was on 2/11. Remember, the modern day Vatican was created on 2/11. Our Lady of Lourdes celebrated 2/11. Resignation of Pope Benedict 2/11. Everything done is on this Marian feast day to exalt Mary. Can I have my next slide? Now there's a new feast in town that Pope Francis just made. And it was decreed, notice, February 11th, 2018, for the 160th anniversary of the apparition of Mary. And it's called, this new feast, can I have my next slide? It's called the Memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. It says on February 11th, they made this an obligatory memorial. There's that word memorial. Remember Rodney T. Holder Memorial? Memorializing the dead. A new obligatory memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church, and it celebrated, notice, the Monday after Pentecost. Well, when is Pentecost in their church? It's on June 9th. And 6919 means to kindle and flame and burn. And remember, their Pentecost is always on Sunday. And guess what page that's found on? 211. 211 of the Deceptions book. What a coincidence. But House of Yahweh's Pentecost is on 610. But notice, they're supposed to celebrate this the Monday after their Pentecost, which is also 610. Hey, what a coincidence, right? Are they getting ready to exalt Mary in some way on that date? Now, I have one more thing I need to remind you of before I close. Can I have my next slide? That's the text of Daniel 12. And remember, 1841, I showed this at the feast. 1841 means Daniel. That's the entire text of Daniel 12. So you can trust Daniel, but you can also trust this next slide. Pastor told us at the feast, the 3.5 years that's about to go back into action, prophesied by Daniel, told to Daniel by me. Yes, on the sea of glass, and I wasn't even born yet, but Yahweh knew me before I was born as he knew you before you were born. And that comes out to 2097. It's from 20, and it means this or that. It means from 2088 on both sides, either side, one and the other. You remember the two witnesses. Remember that, right? And my final slide, or next slide. Remember, this is found in The Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. Pastor wrote The Mark of the Beast in 1976. Notice, 1976 is from 2088, the one, the other, the two witnesses. You remember all this? This was brought the last day of the feast. Isn't it beautiful that we don't have to figure Daniel out? Is anybody trying to figure Daniel out? It's already been figured out. Go read The Mark of the Beast. It's in the Mark of the Beast. It's in the books, Israel. Remember? It's in the books. Sorry I had to fly so fast, but go and get the slideshow and study it some more. But remember, you know, we have a witness that's already shown us and exposed this system, okay? And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to turn it over now to the great Kahan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. If you're using a book of Yahweh, turn to page 531. We're going to look at Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. Now, I'm going to read from the King James Bible on this, but you can follow along in most of it. Page 531, Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. It's also Micaiah 4, 1 and 2, if you'd rather read it over there. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. I'm quoting them. I'm not trying to promote this name. At the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The word mountain that is written in Isaiah verses 2, verse 2 is translated from the Hebrew word har. This word is listed on page 222 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davis, which shows this word means mountain. The word Lord that is written in Isaiah 2, verse 2 is translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh. Interesting. This word is listed on page 217 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means the name Yahweh, the name of the Creator. The word house that is written in Isaiah verses 2 and 3 is translated from the Hebrew word bayit. This word is listed on page 128 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word means house of Yahweh. I got to move fast. The words go up that are written in Isaiah 2, 3 are translated from the Hebrew the word O-L-E. This word is listed on page 1081 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which along with a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, page 205, shows this word means to go up at Abel. The words go forth that are written in Isaiah 2, verse 3 are translated from the Hebrew word yatsah. This word is listed on page 488 and 499 of volume 2 of the New International Dictionary of Old Testament Theology and Exegesis. That's not Jesus, it's G-E-S-I-S. It means exegesis. In other words, talking about Bible study. By Willem van Gimmeren, which shows this word means to restore. The word God that is written in Isaiah 2, verse 3 is translated from the Hebrew word ayil. This word is listed on page 29 and 31 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing dictionary by William L. Roy, which shows this word means Yahweh, the eternal Father. The word Zion that is written in Isaiah 2, verse 3 is translated from the Hebrew word zu. That's zadi, wa, he, not where they have a lion or a tiger around. This word is listed on page 824, volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, and also volume 1. It shows this word means matzu, or it's written as matzu or yatsa, two different forms. 613 commands is what it means, positive and prohibitive. If you do them, they are as they are commanded, they are deeds of merit, and that's another meaning of word merit is righteousness. The word Jerusalem that is written in Isaiah 2, verse 3, is translated from the Hebrew word Yerushalam. The Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Coyler and Baumgartner, volume 2, page 436, and volume 4, page 1533, shows this word means a priest who teaches peace. Okay, gets interesting. Who is this priest who teaches peace? To be honest, Yahshua tells you. Turn to page 752, and we're going to read Matthew 24:14. I'm going to read it from the King James Version, but in the book of Yahweh, follow along. And I may say a word or two. I'm just quoting this book. I'm not preaching it. Page 752 in your book of Yahweh. And this gospel of the kingdom, the word gospel means God's spell. In other words, he's going to, I guess, pixie dust or something. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. The word gospel that is written in Matthew 24:14 is translated from the Hebrew word bashar. This word is listed on page 142 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means
herald as glad tidings, the salvation of Yahweh. Preach the advent of Yahweh and salvation, the praises of Yahweh, Yahweh's righteousness. Yahweh's messianic servant preaches glad tidings to the meek. Who's his messianic servant? Who, in the name of Yahshua, preaches the glad tidings in these last days? The word preach that is written in Matitya 24:14 is translated from the Hebrew kara. This word is listed on pages 1409 and 1410 of Volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasper, which shows this word means a teacher, a preacher, and able. The word for that is written in Matitya 24:14 is translated from the Hebrew preposition and adverb ba. This word is listed on page 56 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which shows this word means by. The word witness that is written in Matitya 24:14 is translated from the root word od, aleph delet, and it's from oda, aleph delet, hey, and owad. You get a little out of letters in this thing. These words are listed on pages 1042, 1043, and 1040 of Volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, and pages 787 and 791 and 795 and 796 of Volume 2 of the Hebrew and Aramaic Lexicon of the Old Testament by Koehler and Baumgartner, which show this word means ode, and its forms oda and owad mean witness, testimony. The light in the house of Yahweh is proof to mankind that Yahweh is with Yisrael. Yisrael is to be a witness, to be called to witness, to be required to witness. He's got a job to do, and Yahweh said, you're going to do it. Matitya 28:20 confirms this, where Yahweh says through his high priest, Yeshua Messiah, and I am, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. So this is what Matitya 24:14 is telling you. And this joyous message of the kingdom of Yahweh shall preached in all the world from the house of Yahweh at Abel by the witness Israel, for Yahweh will be with him. He will preach this message to all the nations, and then the end will come. May Yahweh bless your understanding. Now you know who the teacher, who that priest is. Now if I can get these pages up. And I turn the services over to great Kohan, whoa, great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Starting off, remember what Yahshua said about these disease epidemics and all of these wars and place after place. But remember what pastors brought to us about those who eat swine's flesh, the priests who eat swine's flesh. And an article coming from Bloomberg this week, Bloomberg, it says, pig Ebola virus sends shockwaves through global food chain. And it starts off by saying what started with a few dozen pigs in northeastern China is sending shockwaves through the global food chain. Last eighth Roman month, a farmer with fewer than 400 hogs on the outskirts of Shanghai was found to harbor African swine flu, speaking of 400 hogs, the first ever occurrence of the contagious viral disease in the country with half of the world's pigs. 47 head of pig died, triggering emergency measures including mass culling and blockade to stop the transportation of livestock. So what they did, they went through and they killed a lot of them. But it goes on to say, but it was too late. By then, the disease had literally gone viral, dispersing across hundreds of miles in sickened animals, contaminated food, and notice, and in dirt and dust on truck tires and clothing. So look how this spread. Look how it was able to just go from one part to another part, hundreds of miles away. It says 9 months later, the contagions had spread nationwide, crossed borders to Mongolia, Vietnam, Cambodia, and bolstered meat markets globally. Now it says while officials estimate a count of 1 million hogs have been slaughtered, they suggest that 100 times more will need to be removed. Now to finish all this up, they also give you some encouraging advice saying it's not known to sicken people, however. Yeah, you remember the old saying, you are what you eat? If you eat filth, The pig itself will kill you. So keep in mind, the very same people that are telling you that this pig Ebola will not make you sick are also telling you you can eat pig. So you should know right off the bat, don't listen to anything they say, because they've already told you one thing that will kill you. Don't listen to the second one. And then going over to Syria, keep in mind, hurt not the oil and the wine spoken of in Revelation 6:6, and watch how the news laid out today is all about oil and governing oil, watching over oil and how their strategic plots being made. And the first one is in Syria. Now, Syria is a country that has oil. They can harvest, so to speak, their own oil and sustain themselves. But right now, they have to get 80% of their oil from Iran. And don't forget, Iran is being sanctioned. The waivers are over. And you'll hear the United States' goal is to put Iran's oil exports to a zero. They can't buy, sell, nor trade if they will not do what this beast tells them to do, which is saying, let us be like the first beast. Well, you'll notice it says that the Syrian government, and that's the key, the Syrian government does not have access to its main oil wells. What they call terrorist groups, or what a lot of people are calling them, remember they're backed by the United States government and also the UK, they're actually controlling those fields. Those fields have been destroyed, they've been bombed, they've been made inoperable, so you can't harvest the oil. But Syria doesn't even have control of its own oil. Why is it so quiet there? Because, well, the government doesn't have access, and those who want access are just buying time until they can shut it down. And you'll see with this Iranian oil, as it comes forth, Iran being told it's going to be shut off, China being involved in this. China's also come out and said if it comes down to the waivers of oil and it's being stopped, we're going to have to quit buying oil from Iran. Now, this is what they're saying in the open, because Iran makes a comment, there's six other ways we sell oil the United States does not know about. So keep in mind, they're still trying to push it out. They need it to sustain themselves. It's kind of life to their economy. But China is saying that if they have to choose, they have to choose their economic ties with the United States first, because that will affect their country the most. While all this is going on, watch and see who now controls Syria's main port. It's Russia. Russia has used this strategically to say, we will sell you oil now. Russia selling Syria oil. Now keep in mind, this is not being done, you're a friend of mine, let me give you some oil. There's no giving. It's called selling. It's called money. It's called business. And they're trying to profit off of it, because with this shutting down of the Iranian oil, they're saying that the markets will be exhausted. In other words, the supplies we have are going to be worked enormously hard. And the countries that are supposed to make up for this are saying that's fine. But keep in mind, you're getting ready to get into the time of year where the money for the oil is the most profitable. Oil goes up during the summertime because people want to travel. They spend more money, so there's more money made. It's not a coincidence that the waivers were cut off from Iran when the oil becomes the most profitable. Also, Mike Pompeo, who's the Secretary of State, speaking of Venezuela, saying that if they do not have a regime change or a switch of presidents, and you'll notice John Bolton talks about it's already done, that Juan Guaido is the president of Venezuela and not Maduro, but Secretary of State Pompeo is saying that military intervention may be required and is on the table, to where the United States is looking to go into Syria to achieve what they say is its interest in Venezuela. It's interest in Venezuela. And remember, it's only interest, if you remember we showed in the news, it's oil. They want to develop and harvest, put on the market the oil, but they want a part of the profit. That's what they want. It's the money that comes from this oil that everyone uses. And then President Trump and President Putin this week discussing nuclear management, discussing what to do with these nuclear bombs, and they're saying they're trying to come to a new nuclear missile agreement, and they're also implementing China into this. And then last but not least, we have the peace treaty, Middle East peace plan, and I want to read this to you off the Jerusalem Post, along with some things that Jared Kushner said this last week. But keep in mind, you have to understand this with the mindset, not much has gotten out about this peace plan. It's been very quiet. It's been shut up. They say it's one of the most amazing things ever brought forth in Washington, D.C., that so little has gotten out about this peace plan that Jared Kushner and David Greenblatt have been working on, and they were assigned by President Trump to do this. But somehow this got out and made the news, and of course it was done with purpose. And it says, Saudi Arabia offers Abbas $10 billion to accept Trump's peace plan. It goes on to say that the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has offered the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas $10 billion if he will accept the United States President Donald Trump's plan for peace in the Middle East, also known as the Deal of the Century. Now, this was reported by a Lebanese newspaper, Al Akhbar, and that was reported this third day. It also goes on to say that Salman briefed Abbas about the details of the Deal of the Century. So here you know he knows a little bit about this deal that's being kept very quiet. And according to the information, Salman asked Abbas, "What is the annual budget of your entourage?" Abbas replies, "I'm not a prince. I do not have my own entourage." At that stage, according to the newspaper, the Saudi Crown Prince asked Abbas, "How much does the Palestinian Authority and its ministers and employees need? So how much does it cost you to run your government? What do you need?" Abbas replied, "Palestine needs $1 billion each year," the report said. And to the reply Prince Salman gave, "I will give you $10 billion over 10 years if you will accept this deal of the century." Now, why put this out for everyone to see? Well, Mahmoud Abbas rejected it. Do you know how many people in Palestine are thinking, that'll work? And they're going to start putting pressure on him. And there'll still yet be more going, well, if they'll give $10 billion, let's see if we can get $20 billion. But it's called a bribe. That's what it's called. And they're trying to bribe this deal and going forth. But it's very key to watch. Where do you think Saudi Arabia is getting the money to pay this bribe? Oil. That's what they're using. All of this controlling, all of this push and shove is all being done off of oil, and they're looking to push this through. Now, watch for other Arab countries to get involved, because even the UAE has come forth and said, we have something to put in also if you will take this deal. But watch very closely and remember what Pastor has brought continually about this hurt not the oil and the wine. If we could please go ahead and play the news. Now, keep in mind the solution they're talking about. You hear them saying that the two-state solution is not being mentioned. That's a talking point, or what they say a selling point. But we know this agreement is the very same agreement that was brought forth by our great teacher in 1976 and taught to Daniel on the Sea of Glass. And at this time, I would like to introduce that same great teacher, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Now I thought the feast was over. It's not. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. Without that goddess's name in the front of it. I was running behind. Let's see. I want to get this in first. We got about five Sabbaths to Pentecost. And I was going over some of the stuff that we need to bring. I don't want to bring it too quickly, because it'll be forgotten if I do. So we're going to try to crowd it in this next five Sabbaths. And it's kind of urgent, I think, that we get ourselves ready for this Pentecost, because so much stuff is shown in prophecy, and it all looks like it's coming to a head now. The world is running out of time, and they're scared. I urge you to be here. Now, first day, it's a Sabbath before Pentecost, and then you have the first day, and then Pentecost is the second day, then of that week. That week is Noah 6. 2019 on your sacred calendar, 610 on the unsacred calendar. But write it down and try to get here on the day before that Sabbath. And then we will try to get 3 days of feasting in there, feasting on, praise Yahweh. Feasting on Yahweh's words.
This right here, I don't want to take time to read the articles, but you can see it coming to life if you've noticed in the news there about what's taking place in China. Now, this is not just taking place in China. China doesn't have much open country to raise cattle like we do, and they're having to squeeze as much life out of what little land they have, and they're doing it with pigs. At this same time, and I know I have the article, I don't want to hunt through to find it, but at this same time now, the rabbis in Israel are saying that clone pigs are lawful. Clone pigs are lawful. What they're trying to do is get around the law that tells you these things are terribly unclean. Don't touch them and don't eat them. And of course, they bring down your brain. They bring down your reasoning, your wisdom. This started dropping in right after man turned to sin. I brought this out in the last sermon. You might ought to listen to that again. My fear is you'll forget. This is what the apostles said. You know, their fear was that the people would forget and they would be led into sin as Eve was led into sin. If you don't keep these in mind and keep rehearsing them, you will forget, and then you will probably be drug away. China is trying to survive, like all the other nations. They're desperate right now. They're desperate for food. So is North Korea. Iran is suffering. Russia, too. Russia is suffering. Their people are. They're trying to put out a show that everything is okay, but it's not. All the nations of the world, Venezuela, should make anyone cry that sees what's going on there. And now Russia, this is the mentality that went from Adam, who was brilliant enough to name every animal on earth and give them a number, and Abel write it down, to what we see today with viruses that man has caused. And you saw this on the news, this cause of Hosanna's death, newly discovered herpes virus. Well, of course, this is a mixture. The next article is these evil, lustful activities that mankind in this generation, and this is all over the world, they're following. They're creating these. They're creating these sex viruses. These sex viruses are now they're now crossing. I'll bring this out in a letter for you. I hate to say it on the air. The things, I hate to even read the headlines. The result, I'm reading this, the result is worrisome. It's killing babies. Babies are being born with it. Those that are being born with it are dying. Early lives. And others are suffering. It's getting worse. First ever video reveals how HIV spreads between immune cells. They're actually breeding each other. And they're coming up with crossbreeds like clone pigs. Mankind is doing it too, to the animals. Clone pigs are now A-OK, says the rabbis. They don't fit in this Leviticus 11 law. So that makes them okay to eat. If you don't have the law, you know, you don't have sin, they say. This is the stupidity of Christianity. If you don't have the law, pulling the trigger on a gun will not kill the person. Running a stop sign, you don't have to. There's no law, it says, no law in the scriptures that says don't run a stop sign. You go ahead and run the law, stop sign. Then you won't kill them people in front of you. Just go ahead and run, plow through that thing. Faster the better. Well, that's the stupidity of Christianity. Don't have the law? That means you're ignorant of what you're doing. So ignorant you don't have sense enough to know it's killing you. It's taking your brain from you that Yahweh gave to Adam and Eve. A magnificent computer up there. And it's diminishing it and has been for 6,000 years, taking the life too down. Pig Ebola virus sends shockwaves throughout the global food chain. Well, of course, they're realizing what they've done, and the rabbis coming behind them and saying, oh, it's okay. You know, they sound like a bunch of Christians over there. You know, the rabbis I talked to in Israel, they were sensible. You know, it's hard to believe there's idiots like that in Israel, but they are. They don't read the scriptures. In fact, the only thing they try to do is to get around the scriptures like the world is doing now. But the world is getting also more violent. In Matthew 24:37 and 39, 24:37 to 39, if you read this, it says, but just as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Just as Noah was, the days of Noah. For just as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, while given in marriage and divorce. They didn't have their mind on the scriptures, that's for sure, on righteousness. And that's what he's trying to point out to you here. Until the flood came, verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and wiped them out all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. In Genesis 6:5, we see exactly what we're seeing today, but much worse now. They can burn the earth. Genesis 6 and verse 5, he says, and then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of man's hearts were only evil continually. And this is what you see being displayed if you look at the news. If you know people, if you talk much to the world, you'll see it coming out of their mouth. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt. That means it was poisoned. It was poisoned by STDs, the same things we have now that defile the earth, Yahweh said. All the nations defiling the earth. Of course, because of the Catholic Church saying the laws are done away with, and Christianity says all you got to do is just believe and go ahead practicing your sins. The earth also was corrupt before Yahweh, and the earth was lawless, filled with violence. So Yahweh looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways. And Yahweh said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence." Filled with violence. Now he says, "I will cause a flood." No, he didn't cause the flood. That's the thing, and we need to get more into that later, but I don't have time now. Yeshua said, "You won't see me." Let's go back to Matithiah. Yeshua says, "You're not going to see me." Here in Matithiah 23, I'll find it in a moment. In look at verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who murder the prophets." This was the 12 tribes, the sons of Jacob, calling themselves Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. They're the Catholics, the same Catholics that you see in 1 Samuel 8, 6 through 8. 1 Samuel 8, 6 through 8, that says, "Give us gods, make us gods, and let us tell you what to do." Yeah, just make them gods. Well, they did. They took them at their word and made them gods and praying to them. And the Pope says this week that he is demoting Jesus now. They don't need him anymore because he won't answer their prayers and so forth. Well, that's with all their gods, you know. They're going to look up and see it, and that's what they're doing. And then they look to the earth and they see nothing but anguish. But he says in verse 37, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who murder the prophets and stone those who are sent to you." Those who are sent to you, you stone. "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, your house is left to you deserted. Verse 39, "For I say to you, from this moment you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." Well, I'll show you what that entails in just a little bit. Waiting 19 hours for gas in a lifeless city. Now, this is Syria. And if you remember, I brought a sermon showing that Syria, this is all hinged on Syria. And we're seeing, I don't know why people can't see that the prophecies are true. Yahweh tells you exactly where the troubles are. Told you that thousands of years ago. Why would you not believe it when you see it? Like Yahshua said, "Your house is left to you desolate." Not a stone, he said, is going to be left here. It's going to be taken down. But you won't see me. You won't see me until you say, "Blessed is," until the time when you say, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh." If you look at Matithiah 24, then after he just told them, "You're not going to see me anymore, it's going to be a long time before you see me again." Yeshua went out, verse 1, was leaving the house of Yahweh when his disciples came to show him the building of the house of Yahweh. But Yeshua said, this was written in 33, this temple, as they called it, was not taken down and moved to Rome until 70 AY, And this was written in 33 AY. So you have about 40 years there later that building was removed and taken to Rome by the great Roman army, 30,000 of which surrounded Jerusalem and killed millions of people who came to keep Yahweh's feast, that last feast. There was no Passover for them. I was so glad to see that one of the Kohanas brought that out this morning about the Passover. There's another Passover coming, but you won't be saved unless you're in the group that said, blessed are those blessed with life and the Passover. Well, but Yeshua said to them, do not see all these things. Truly I say, there will not be one stone left on top of another, which will not be taken down. And then in verse 7, he says, nation is going to be against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Verse 34 shows in a particular generation, a generation of verse 29 that shows the generation of the nuclear bomb. The generation of the nuclear bomb that can actually darken the sun. All of that we have before us now in this generation, right now. And look at verse 14. I had David scheduled to bring some other scriptures this morning, and I had to call him the last thing because I couldn't get to those. And that's the reason he covered this Matthew 24:14. I hope all of you heard it and recognize what he brought, because he brought proof to show you that this message is going out by a specified group of people called the house of Yahweh in these last days, in the end. And when this message is preached to all the world, the end will come. The end is speaking of the burning, the one-hour burning shown in Revelation 18. In 14, he says the message is going to be preached in all the world. Who's preaching that message? There's nobody preaching that message except us and the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh. I'm going to show you something in a minute to back up what we say. You can actually prove it there. But in this gathering, he's talking about a gathering that takes place. In verse 31, a great gathering that takes place by this work that Yahweh and Yahshua, who's the high priest over the house of Yahweh, Hebrews 10:21, and he will send his messenger. This is Matthew 24:31. He will send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet. That's Revelation 10:7. Shows you the trumpet trumpeter that will sound, and they, the house of Yahweh, will gather together his elect from four winds, from all directions, from one end of the earth to the other. That is taking place. We're reaching every nation at this time with this message. That's never been possible before, brethren, until this generation. This generation, the work that he's talking about now, get this in your mind, go to Micaiah 4, he's talking about a house of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. Micaiah 4, verses 1 said, in the last days. Yeshua said, generation, the end will come. That generation of the nuclear war, nuclear bombs that can darken the sun. That's never been possible. Started in 1934, the year I was born. But in the last days, it will come to pass that the promotion mountain, promotion, it means uplifting, of the house of Yahweh will be established. That promotion will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it, all people that are left alive. Malachiah, the great prophet Malachiah, the last prophet in book one, they call it the Old Testament. He prophesied in the fourth chapter, and said that only those who reverence the name Yahweh, only those who reverence the name Yahweh, you won't see me anymore until you reverence the name Yahweh, and none of you will see him without reverencing the name Yahweh first. You reverence, I brought about 20 sermons on that, reverencing the name Yahweh. You reverence the name Yahweh by keeping Sunday, the first day of the week, instead of the seventh day of the week, like Yahweh tells you to do in the fourth commandment of the ten. Well, that's Christianity. No, you reverence the name Yahweh when you tell your children that rabbits lay eggs, colored eggs. You reverence the name Yahweh when you tell your children, be good like the gods, because Santa won't give you any Christmas presents when he comes down your chimney. All the lies you tell your children. Well, this is, no, it doesn't reverence Yahweh. It reverences Satan and her gods. Be evil like the gods, Genesis 3, verse 5. And Yahshua said, this is the condemnation that is coming on all the world, because your works are evil. Yochanan 7, 7. And many nations, Micaiah 4, verse 2, many nations will come to this house of Yahweh. He will teach us his ways. They're not being taught by the world. The world is being taught Halloween, worship of the dead, Christmas, worship of the dead, Easter, worship of the dead. Worship of the dead, Isaiah 65. Following the priest who eats swine's flesh. How much plainer could it be? The priest who eats swine's flesh. Well, they're worried now because they got so many pigs, and they're all sick. But we don't think they'll hurt you. That's what they said when I was in the fourth grade, and I showed that to Mother. She said, don't you believe this? Well, I think they're still teaching it in the fourth grade health book. Health. I don't know if they have that now in public schools or not, but they had a health book. They called it the health book, and they said, don't eat pork unless you fry it really crisp and kill the worms. Don't eat the worms until you kill them. That's what they were teaching. And that's what she said. Mother said, they want you to eat cooked worms? Is that what you think you ought to do, Bill? No, I don't want that stuff. I carried a clean egg between a biscuit that had been sliced, and the children wanted to trade me their potted ham for it. I said, no, I can't do that. Well, it was going on when I was a child, but they were teaching against it. Because the law will depart from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. That's the reason that comes back in these last days in the chief nation, or from the chief nation of all nations. Verse 3, he will judge between the people, rebuke many many strong nations afar off. He's doing that right now. That's what we're doing. The rod of my tongue, the rod of my mouth, that's what we're doing, showing the truth. And they will beat their swords into plowshares, and we're going to stop war. They will learn war no more. Now, that's the work that we just saw Yahshua talking about in Matthew 24. Matthew 16 shows Yahshua in that work. The house of Yahweh being established, and if you look to Matthew 16 and verse 18, Matthew 16:18, he says, "And I also say to you who are Kepha, whose name means rock, that upon this rock, Yahweh unity, this is the way you reverence Yahweh, come to unity with the one sent." I could go on and on, but I'm going to place that in your mind now, because that's what it takes to reverence Yahweh. You bring evil on your own self when you break Yahweh's laws. Whether you know you're breaking a law or not, eating pork will bring you down a little at a time. Well, I will build this house. So we see we have Yahshua involved in the building of the house, the establishment of this house. Hebrews 10:21 says he's high priest over the house of Yahweh. Hebrews 10:16 says he's putting the laws in your heart, putting them in your heart through this house that Yahweh said, I will establish. The house of Yahweh, he says, family, I will build this house. The word is family, the house of Yahweh, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell, which means the gates of hell, which is 4,199 religions out there right now, God worshipers, all of them God worshipers. Now, you just read Matthew 16, verse 18, and Yahshua says he's with this establishing the house in the last day. Hebrews 10:21 says he's high priest over the house of Yahweh. If you turn to Zechariah now, and you look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. Look at 3 verse 8, and you'll see, "Hear now, O Yahshua." Yahshua is the name of the Savior. I proved that to you in their own writings. Not too long ago, from Hebrews, the 4th chapter, he gave them the Sabbath according to commandment. "But hear, O Yahshua," this is Zechariah 3 and verse 8. "Hear, O Yahshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sat before you, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." He's saying, hear this. This is his instruction. Do you remember when I brought out that you know, I didn't want to talk about myself and show prophecies concerning myself? The elders rebuked me. and I said, well, you can bring it out, but I can't. I can't bring it. And then I noticed Yahshua said he took the scriptures and he showed his disciples all the things concerning himself. Well, that changed my mind. I had to. So, he says here now, and said to me, this is Zechariah 4, verse 2, and said to me, what do you see? So I said, I see, and behold, a lampstand. A lampstand. A lampstand. And all of gold with a bowl for oil on top of it with its seven lamps, now notice, seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to the seven lamps. And then he said, there are two olive trees. Now, if you will hold your place right there and turn over to Revelations, just hold your place there, turn over to Revelations 11. All of this is necessary in getting your mind back that started with Adam and Eve. A magnificent mind. And the more you put this in your mind and overcome, the quicker you'll be able to use this computer up here. That's the most magnificent thing in the world. No one has been able to match it. Revelations 11, remember what you read, the seven lamps, the lampstand, and two olive trees, okay? And a man called the branch. Behold, the man called the branch. Well, here in Revelations 11, in the last days now, he said, and there was given unto me a reed like a measuring rod. This is talking about a writing pencil and taking notes and writing it down to publish it. Verse 2, the court which is outside the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it's given to the nations, which is also heathen. The word means heathen, given to the heathen. That's the unbelievers. They won't believe the scriptures, won't obey the scriptures. And the holy city they will tread down 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Well, that's getting ready to start. All the nations are talking about this. They're talking about this very thing right here that we wrote about, and it was brought out twice today by my disciples. Brought out twice today. This is great. This is great. It should be in your memory now. Read the book, they said. Read the book, the mark of the beast, they said, and you will find it. And it's backed up by the gematria. The mark of the beast book is backed up by the gematria, they said. Well, here we see 3.5 years. And the holy city they will tread underfoot 3.5 years. And I will give to my two witnesses, two witnesses, who might they be, to perform their prophetic office. And they will foretell events about the 3.5 years. Those two witnesses will foretell these events. Those cast about with darkness. These are the two olive trees. Uh-oh, do you see that? These are the two olive trees. Who would know to go back to Zechariah and look at verse 4, chapter 4, and verse 3 again? And there are two olive trees here. Seven lamps, the lampstand, Yeshua the high priest, and two olive trees. See how that fits together? Here a little and there a little. Two olive trees. And back to Revelations now. Two olive trees. These are the two olive trees. No doubt. There's no doubt these two witnesses now are the two olive trees. You got that? Are you listening out there, world? You preachers out there, are you listening? There's no doubt these two witnesses are these two olive trees talked about in Zechariah and many other places throughout your Bible. Get the book, The Mark of the Beast, and read it. These are the two olive trees, the two lampstands, also mentioned there, the lampstands, Zechariah 4:2, and behold, a lampstand. A lampstand with seven lamps. These are the two olive trees, Revelations 11:4. The two lamps of the seven lamp lampstand. Now we got ministering for the Father in the earth. Can we show this on the screen right now? You got to have the King James Version to get this point right here. Now, let you see this first, and then I want to bring you back to this, the way we have it. Can you see that? I got it underlined for you. Those who stand, you see that? Who stand before Yahweh? Remember Daniel 12? They stand. It was brought out today. This is brought out today. But look, they stand before Yahweh. Here is two witnesses standing before Yahweh, but they're doing a work on earth. They're the two witnesses. They stand before Yahweh. They're telling Daniel what to write in the scriptures. Two witnesses. They stand. Now, the reason this was translated like stand is because it actually means ministering before Yahweh to Daniel and to other prophets too. I brought this all out loud and clear, but I never did show you that King James Version on this thing. I blew that up 200 times. That's a miracle of this generation. 200 times enlarged it. These are the two olive trees and the two lamp candlestands. One says candlestand, the other one says lampstand. Standing before Yahweh of the earth. These are the two witnesses. These witnesses are the two olive trees and the two lampstands which stand before, and they, this one put Lord and the other one God. Of course, in book two now, I mean book one, you can actually go back to the interlinear and show they're lying and they replace the name Yahweh. One of them was Lord and the other one was God. But we'll do that in just a moment. I'm out of time, but let's go over just a wee bit here. Not long. Now, all nations now talking about this 3.5 years that the witnesses brought forth. They wouldn't even be talking about it if we hadn't brought it forth, that it was actually prophesied. This was brought forth in the year 1976. 1976. It didn't come to pass until 1993. That was brought forth this morning, so you should be able to remember that. Don't forget it. Now all the nations are talking about this last 3.5 years of the 7-year peace treaty. This is a 7-year peace plan that was cut in half. Peace plan that was foretold in 1996, it didn't come to pass. It didn't start until 1993 with President Bill Clinton. Isn't that beautiful? There's no one except Yahweh that can foretell prophecy. There's that his mind. He can actually tell you, he can look right there in front of him, and he can see the work being done even today. We're standing this work right here. You and I, we're standing before Yahweh right now on his sea of glass, brethren. That's true. There's no need to doubt it. He's got us to where he can see our every move. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our activities. That's the reason I'm pushing I've got my urge pushing on you to get you to straighten up some things. You know where you're lacking. But push your mind to learn to love reading and maybe even start trying to write. I said this before, and a lot of people took me up on it, and they started calling and said, you know, I just discovered this and this. And I said, man, that needs to be told. It needs to be told to the whole audience, not just to me. And several people did this, and now they're telling it. Well, this seven-year peace plan now that was talked about in 76, signed in 1993, it stopped 3.5 years later. The last 3.5 years will be cut short. Go back to Yeshua's prophecy in Matthew 24, and he says in verse 7, nation will rise against nation. This is the end time, by the way, shown in verse 3. Then in verse 7, he said, nation will rise against nation, poison pigs against poison pigs. That's pestilence, STDs. It's a mad cow disease. If you bring an animal from the world, please don't bring it around our animals. Don't bring it from the world. Just don't get it. Brethren, it took us years. It took us years. We searched for the red sheep for years that had not been defiled. And I, after years of searching, was wanting to have the ashes of the red heifer. We found the red heifers here in Texas. So did the Hebrews, because we told them where. So did those in Israel, the temple-bound faithful. We told them where to go to get them, and they went and got them one. Well, the sheep, I said, the only way you're going to get something that's clean is to find an old woman raising red sheep that's been doing it for years. You know, the next week is the very next week, they called me and said, there's a woman, I think it was from Arizona, and I said, send a trailer tomorrow. Get it ready and let's go. And we sent this trailer to Arizona, I think it was Arizona, to get these sheep. The woman that had been raising them for years, she said. She was old, and it was something like 20 years or so that she had them, or 25 years. And we bought all that she wanted to sell us, brought them back. She called me about a month later, or wrote me a letter, and said, after I sold you those red sheep, the wolves came in and wiped out my sheep herd. She had killed every last one of them. Well, Satan hated her, I know, and I prayed for her, but of course, she didn't have the Passover. Well, anyway, back to Matthew 24, verse 7. Notice the pestilence. The nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, earthquakes, and so forth. Look on down to verse 21. Here's where we stand right now. It's fixing to go into effect. For then will be great tribulation, such as has not come to pass. This is due to the giving this to the nations, the heathen, and they will trample it underfoot for 3.5 years. But that time period, brethren, if you'll look, is going to be cut short. If it wasn't cut short, what is taking place in Israel is going to involve the whole world. As Trump said, it's going to reverberate. If you could take him seriously right now, he's also trying to build a border wall to slow this thing down. He's making several moves right now among the nations because he knows what's going to take place. The Pope knows what's going to take place. The Vatican has sent him out to tell the people, under no circumstances are you to have nuclear war. Now, they never did preach that before. In fact, they were for it, and they called it just war. And they came out, then we came out, and told them what their just wars is going to bring. Well, now they're getting worried, and they see that these prophecies are all coming to pass. And this is the only thing, we are the only people on the face of the earth that is showing this. These prophecies are coming to pass. There's no stopping them. I mean, you're the ones that's doing it. The religions, Yahweh shows, is doing this. You're making every excuse for your evil, but you're all against one another. You have no unity. You have nothing that will bring you to unity because you've discarded, you've rejected the laws that teach unity. Now, the reason that they want to wipe out, want to demote Yahshua is, he tells them the only ones that's going to be in his house are those who come to unity with the laws of Yahweh. Only he who does the will of my Father. He said, I will of my own do nothing. You won't see my face, he said. You won't see me, period, until the time when you will say, blessed are those who come in the name of Yahweh. We're it, brethren. We're the prophesied, right, praise Yahweh. We're the prophesied group that comes in the name of Yahweh. We're the only prophesied group called the house of Yahweh that comes in the name, by name, by his authority. I will have no other work, he said, Amos 4. I will have no other work except that is prophesied by my prophets in advance. I will have no other work. We're it. We are the house of Yahweh. We're taking this to the ends of the world right now. And when this job is done, it's being done right along with the work of the heathen that is preparing for nuclear war. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services next to the next leader. Over to the next leader. Yahweh bless you. I love you.